So as the rest of the department tries to put its programs together to generate economic vitality, we're trying to consistently take a look at what we're doing, how we're doing it, and can it be done for less. And that's been one of our major goals in 84 and will continue to be in 85. In 85 in particular, we're working on the development of a computer system for revenue and billing so that we can generate billings more appropriately, more promptly, and in turn get, you know, money back into the state treasury. We want to look at the Highway Working Capital Fund, which is our payments to DOT for car leases, to see if we can't do a more effective and more cost-efficient job of car rental and leasing. We're moving towards consolidation of DNR offices in Anchorage and Fairbanks. That's a major goal for FY85. We believe that we will serve the public better if we have all our folks as much as possible in a single location so that it's easy for people to find them and be able to work with them. We're going to continue to monitor our fiscal and personnel actions to make sure that the department stays in compliance with state statutes and regulations. We hope to participate fully in the state classification study that the Department of Administration is handling. What we would like to do there is to assure that we eliminate some inequities that we see in job classifications within the department and within the state. We hope to move towards adoption and implementation of a formal training policy. Last year, for example, we paid over $70,000 in penalties when grievances were resolved in the favor of the employee within the department. On reviewing those cases, I found that in most instances, appropriate training for the manager in question could have prevented the grievance having been filed in the first place. We would like to be able to initiate more of that kind of training. We want to clarify some other procedures, such as overtime payment for firefighters. And in particular, we're going to give attention to the newly established Division of Mining so that it operates effectively and has a strong administrative structure the way we hope all our divisions do. Now, in conclusion, I'd like to turn it back over to our landlady, Ms. Schwanicki.
Thank you all very much. Obviously, at the same time, there's great diversity within the Department of Natural Resources, and one of the things that makes it exciting to me, I'm finding a lot of cooperation among the divisions and a better integration of the department, I think. At least that's certainly one thing that we are aiming toward. As we've cast the department in terms of money and in terms of acreage, we're the third largest land manager in the United States, behind the Bureau of Land Management and the United States Forest Service. So we manage an area on behalf of all of you as members of our board of directors and the stockholders of Alaska. That's 34 million acres larger than everything that the Fish and Wildlife Service manages throughout the United States, and 8 million acres larger than everything that the National Park Service manages throughout the United States. And yet I hope we do it not just looking at those state lands in isolation from the effect of that management on our neighbors, whether they're private individuals or native corporate landowners or the federal land managers. We're certainly open to your questions. I would like to introduce, Sharon Barton and Ned Farquhar from our staff, who are staff assistants to the commissioner, but I'd like to introduce Dee Frankforth, who is my staff assistant but based in Anchorage, and Carol Wilson, who has just joined us this week. This is her initiation into the department as a staff assistant based in Juneau. There are other deputy directors and other members of the department here that I hope you'll have an opportunity to meet, but I wanted to give you time to ask what questions you might have.
At this point, I think the best bet would be if we just kind of take a shotgun approach and direct it whichever directors we may want to get to. Representative Gall, you want to? Maybe that wasn't the...
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I try to keep my shotgun low. That is not raised. I have just a few very brief questions, and maybe for the benefit of the committee, we could, if you feel more detail is necessary later, you could speak to me later. I just would like to get some brief sort of answers to these. First of all, Mr. Heim, with regard to agriculture, some time ago there was a land use plan done in Haines. At that time, a lot of public opinion was voiced in favor of certain particular areas being used for agriculture, and those areas have been rather carefully studied, and I think if you look into it, you'll find that data in your records. The land use plan has not classified land for agricultural use in the Haines Valley. I was told last night, or in my listening to a meeting held by the Department of Natural Resources in Haines, that these land use plans are fluid. I was wondering whether you have any interest in developing the agricultural potential in the Haines area, and if so, how I should proceed to help you implement that.
I'm really not familiar with the land use plan down there. This year we are having DMC is having a site down there in cooperation with the Extension Service.
Plant Material Center.
Thank you.
It's in cooperation with the Extension Service there, and we will have some plots down there, both horticulture and conservation plant materials. Horticulture will be probably small fruit, ornamentals, and the conservation plant materials will be plants for soil erosion control. But I'm not familiar with that.
So then interested parties should contact your office directly.
Sure.
Mr. Sturgeon, just a couple of brief questions, if I might. You quoted a net income or a gross income from timber harvest activities, and I was wondering if you could tell me what the net income has been from those activities without, I don't mean in terms of cabins or recreation development or non-direct rows, but you know, just exactly what the net benefit or loss to the division has been from your timber sales in terms of management costs and deficit, or rather purchaser credits and so forth, as compared to gross revenues over, say, the last 2 years.
Year before last, we took in about $1.4 million, and I think our timber operating budget is somewhere around $900,000, somewhere in there. This year, 1883, I think, is around $400,000, and again, the same amount of the operating budget. So that's the difference.
So then your estimate at this time is 1.4 income with 900,000 operating costs in 82 and $400,000 income with 900,000 operating costs in 83.
That's real rough off the top.
Roughly, to the best of your current
information. One thing the state is different than maybe other agencies in that our personal use program is somewhat subsidized. We sell the personal use firewood on the factory and that's it, et cetera, for much below market value. Like last year, we had just in 83, we had 4,000 permits. And if we would get the full amount for that, that figure would look a lot different. But it's policy to sell firewood, house logs, et cetera, to the public for your own personal use at a reduced price.
Secondly, on your forest fire map, you indicated something about McGrath being added, and then you said everything below that would be state-controlled, but I didn't see anything indicated for southeast. Do you have any southeast operations on state land in Haines?
Yes, we do. The only thing that we do protect in southeast Alaska is the Haines area.
Is the state forest land, you said?
Well, it's state land, period. Uh-huh. The park and any private land in the Haines area we also protect. Also, in southeast Alaska, when the 1990 rules around, the state, it appears we're going to have to assume protection on Native Corporation lands at that time.
And you also protect the Icy Bay Sale area up around Yakutat. It's just not on the map.
Yeah,
for some reason.
Not many fires down here. So
okay. Thank you very much, sir. Mr. Johansson, I was just wondering why all of the campgrounds are not included in the VIP program. There are a lot that are not in there. Is there a reason for that?
That was an initial approach to sort of test the system here to find out whether it was public interest. And a lot of the campgrounds are so small, 10 or 12 units, that really isn't necessary, in our opinion, to have a camp post. We've been trying to have the volunteers working in the campgrounds that serve the most people.
Thank you, sir. And finally, Ms. Brown, I was wondering if you could tell me a lot of what I've been hearing about the natural gas situation up on the slope is, I think, common knowledge that it's being pumped back into the wells, and the problem seems to be an economical marketing system. I was wondering if there was any new news on that front as far as marketing the gas from Prudhoe Bay.
Well, as you may have heard, the governor plans to undertake an initiative in the near future to meet with interested parties on all sides of that issue and see whether there are things the state can do to help move the project ahead. Frankly, it doesn't look too good. It looks like it's a number of years in the future. Gas marketing is quite a complicated area. There have been major changes in the natural gas situation with deregulation in the lower 48, and I think we're still trying to put together how those changes have affected the market in the lower 48 for Alaska gas.
Thank you. And finally, if I may, certainly there are issues and things that occur that affect Department of Natural Resources, but as one person who's dealt with the department for quite a number of years, I'm really impressed with the kind of responsiveness that has been generated over the last year and seems to be on the upswing to people's concerns. And I'd like to thank you for your time and
thank
for
you,
your interest. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bussell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Anderson is it Ms. Halloran? Is that the way you say it? Halloran? Both of you folks, when you spoke about or I guess you were the only two that spent time touching on your computer systems, and both of you spent quite a bit of time talking about them. What effect is the I don't know whether it's proposed or just threatened, changes in the Anchorage data center going to cause you folks, if they do in fact break the data center up and go through with this fool move and try to tear out the center of the data center and bring it down here?
I can't address part of that. We were notified of that move here just a couple of weeks ago, officially, that they were going to make a functional consolidation, that we do the time sharing in the Anchorage area, all the batch processing down here in the Juneau area. That has a significant impact on both the Department of Natural Resources and the way we do business and on the Department of Transportation. And at the present time, we're taking a look at what the economic impact of that is going to be on the department, preparing a report for that. That report will come up through the commissioner and also will be presented at the new Department of Administration Information Steering Committee. We're just in the process now of working on that. A rough estimate that we calculated, we're probably in about $1 million impact on our department for that activity.
Negative
at this time. Now you have to consider, we have an awful lot of programs that operate on the Department of Administration system that are batch-type programs. In other words, they're programs that we submit the data in and they're run on their software. Those software systems are extremely old. The software packages need to be revised. As we are implementing our new computer program, we're getting more and more on the online kind of aspect. The facility in Anchorage will, at that point, start to subsidize us very well. Right now, it will have an economic impact on us. We know that. We just don't know how great it's going to be.
But we will have an opportunity through Jim Anderson and through Ms. Halloran to meet with the Department of Administration and affect that decision.
Well, hopefully that whole situation can be turned around. It's you're just one department amongst, and then in fact it's going to throw an arrow in everyone's heart.
But the Department of Administration is being very open to the kind of comment that we're making and that I'm sure that you will be making.
Well, hopefully your comments will be strong enough to overturn that, and the sense will reign. I don't care if they build a computer center in Albuquerque, New Mexico, but they ought to put the thing all in one spot instead of trying to wreck it. It's a workable system right now, and obviously comments from those two people tell me that your department is becoming computer-oriented. His talk about what they're doing in the future excites me. If you think you've been doing something in the past, it's nothing to what you'll be doing in a couple of years with the computers they're talking about putting in. And it seems a shame now to just take an axe and chop that system in two. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Is that it, Representative Bussell?
Yes, thank you, Mr.
Well, I'm off easy. Senator
no,
Fisher.
That's not easy. It's important.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have a shotgun of any kind. I'd like to compliment the commissioner and the deputies and all the directors. I think this is about the best agency presentation I've heard in my few years around. And it's a good overview, and you gave a lot of information at the same time. I have just one specific question on agriculture to Ed Hine. I keep hearing different figures on what level of food production we have in Alaska today. The report that we were handed out makes reference to today, Alaska, we produce less than 10% of food consumed in the state, I recently saw someplace else that would produce less than 5%, which of course is less than 10. And someplace else I saw less than 2%, which is also less than 10%. Where are we?
I would say we're probably around the 5% area. It's really hard to say, but like milk, we produce about 20% of the milk. Eggs, we produce, well, it varies, but we're probably around 30% of the eggs. Potatoes, we're around 50% of the fresh potatoes. Bananas, we're zero. the meat production has always been low. I think that will increase rather rapidly now that we have the new processing facility at Palmer. But it's really hard to tie it right down. It's probably close to 5%.
Ed, your report also makes reference to a companion report from Department of Commerce and Economic Development providing economic analyses of products.
Yes.
I'd be real interested in seeing any analyses you have and what Commerce might have done that would sort of back up the forecast that there'll be 9 times the receipts from livestock and dairy products by year 1990. That's a pretty phenomenal increase, and I'd be interested in seeing economic production figures and economics on those.
Yeah, so that's some of the thought that went into these projections was the more economical ones, the ones that we know we can do, we put at a higher level than those that we're not so sure about. I think that report, hasn't been mailed to all the legislatures, I'm sure.
You know what happens to reports, could you just see to that?
We'll see that you get a copy of the Red Star.
Thank you. Senator Ferguson?
Yes, a couple of questions if my voice holds out. I hope better the other day. One for the commissioner and then to Mr. Hine. You've taken over a major increase in the amount of land. Apparently have some $77 million. One of the things that bothered me, we've not been able to move very rapidly for all the divisions and getting the information about that land so it gets classified and moves on. Although we haven't talked about budgets today, what about the number of dollars in there to move ahead really to get that land classified and into the system so we know something about it, and Mr. Schaaf can come out and give us some more things that tell us where our potential is. I mean, I find that incredible that we're now getting the information to tell that, hey, we're not even perhaps putting the land out in the right areas.
I might respond to that in two ways, if I may, Senator, and that is that is, I think, one of the things that first struck me when I came to the department was that the increasing responsibilities of the department had not been reflected in its budgetary support over the past few years, and particularly in some areas that are not very sexy areas, if you will, the kinds of things that go to land selection and land status and land records and the survey of land, and those are things that are hard to hype, and yet they are fundamental foundation for everything that we do. We won't have a good land offering program if we don't know the status of the land and we don't know that we have good title to it and so forth. We feel that in the governor's budget we have been heard and have been well treated, and there is an overall increase in the Department of Natural Resources budget in the governor's budget this year in these areas that we think we have to pay attention to. We cannot solve everything overnight, but I think that if we can maintain that budget that the governor is requesting for us, we'll be a long way down the road.
Right. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Hine, I'd be interested to know if the plan that you have is one that is pretty much adopted and is planned to be carried out by the governor. It appears that the funding level you talk about is, in fact, what you have in the budget. I'm curious, we've had some problems with the revolving loan fund, and certainly in terms of repayment, there's been some reorganization. Talk about a graduated interest rate schedule, and I see that you're talking about an additional schedule for a study to take a look at that. What exactly do you plan to do in terms of the various loan plan or programs that affect farmers?
Well, first of all, the governor has accepted the plan. For the graduated interest schedule, what we want to do is to the old-time borrowers, we don't believe that they should be subsidized forever for lower interest rate. And we would like to, after so many years, have a graduated interest level so they'll go up to the commercial rate, is what we're trying to do. And with this, that they'll probably go to a private source of lending agency rather than just cut them off, because in some cases, some of these farmers can't get funding from other agency. Some of the other things we're doing, we've got a new procedure with the Attorney General's office on our ones that we are in default. We had kept taking loans to the Attorney General's office, and they never seemed accomplished much. So about 2 months ago, we brought everything back home and started over again, and we're got specific procedures we're going to do to keep on them, so some of these come to a head and resolve.
Right. Just to pursue that, though, you have not put in a program for this graduated interest rate?
No, we have not yet.
All right. Do you anticipate doing that this year, or is that going to come next year?
It'll probably come next year. It's more complicated than it seems, and we want to have hire somebody do a study for us how to do it. We can do it within our own budget, just a small study, and then we'll have to change the regulations to work it into the regulations.
Fine. Just one other comment, Mr. Chairman Long, Senator Fisher's line. I noticed that you haven't put any dollars in for expansion. There's been a lot of interest in the banana program. We have millions and millions of dollars in one proposal that was made to us, and I would hope that we'll see, if there's to be a major expansion of this, that we'll see some kind of supporting document and a good plan before we see capital expenditures for major increase in either disposal or loan programs. Because it seems to me, just on your present plan, it's going to take a relatively substantial amount of public funds to keep the current program going.
Yes, and as far as Manana goes, in this plan, that's on hold until 86. We're going to take a further look at it. We'll need some disposals, but we're going to slow them way down from what they have been in the past.
Thank you.
Representative Schultz?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just wondering, are the people going to be here, the other directors and commissioners, tomorrow?
Here through tomorrow, and some of them will be here through Friday. Okay. If you have a particular.
Yes, I was just wondering if tomorrow sometime, when you have some free time before you leave, possibly, if I could see Mr. Hawkins, Mr. Sturgeon, and Mr. Anderson before I just sometime.
Could I ask if that could be later in the day?
It's fine, whenever.
We're having a departmental retreat,
sure,
tomorrow.
I just got specific things that I'd like to go over rather than take the committee's time. The other question that I have is to Mr. Himes, and that would be to answer a question that I received here from Mr. Lassen, Senator Lassen. That's what's Delta's barley yearly market value. And being a farmer, I don't know.
Well, right now they're selling it for about $140 a ton. Is the per ton price. They had about 14,000 acres up there this year. Statistics come out 6 months from now, so we'll know then. I'm just trying. I think they had about 9,000 tons this year. And that was up. The yield per acre was down from last year, but we had more acres, so we got more tons this year.
Representative Muska.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I share Senator Fisher's comments in regards to that fine presentation, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Very informative. I have one question that I keep getting all the time from the Miners Association. Now, I know who to, in the DNR, to address this to, because apparently there's two or three of your directors involved that may answer it. Is, are we having this large of a problem with coming or keeping up with the federal water standards in our mining operations? I keep being told all the time that if they keep on getting any stricter and stricter, they're all going to be put out of business in the state of Alaska. Can anybody answer me, do we have any solution to this? Because if we're going to develop this state resources-wise, apparently we're going to have a water problem before we even start.
Representative, I'd like to introduce David Henderly Smith, who's the division's deputy director for mining. He's probably the best qualified person to say, why don't you give that a shot?
Yeah, the basic problem is that the Federal Clean Water Act didn't anticipate placer mining. The Department of Environmental Conservation is in the process of regulating an industry that's been in Alaska much longer than any of us. That frankly, if they regulate that industry in compliance with the Clean Water Act, there is no industry. Commissioner Neve is certainly doing his best. He's looking at reclassification of streams. He's looking at re-examining the classifications he has. But he's between a rock and a hard place. It's a federal problem.
I know.
Quite frankly, if the Clean Water Act were stringently enforced in Alaska, it would shut down the majority of placer miners. A few could get by.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, since you have met David Hederly Smith, who was Deputy Director in Minerals and Energy, I'd like to introduce Bill Barnwell, who is the Deputy Director in the Division of Geologic and Geophysical Survey, Skip Harding, who is Deputy Director in the Division of Parks, Bud May, Deputy Director in the Division of Technical Services, and Bob Parkinson is here, who is with the Plant Materials Center that was mentioned earlier, and also Wyatt Gilbert, who is based here in Juneau now, a geologist on Ross Schaff's staff. So you've been surrounded. I'll have to think.
I guess so. Mm-hmm. Senator Lyson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Schultz more or less touched upon what I was going to answer. That's my question, but I had the opportunity of visiting the Delta Project here a few years ago, and the problem I have, of course, the further away I get from saltwater, the less I comprehend. But I noticed that John says they spent $5 million on fire suppression. Is that an actual figure? That's just an example.
That was a fire.
Was a fire? I assume that was a put out of fire in the Delta field, in the Delta barley fields.
Well, it was a combination of fire. It started in fields, but it spread out into, actually started in the burn pile in the clearing process, and it spread out into the surrounding timberland, was moving towards Delta and towards Cumming Sawmill, and it was pretty, pardon the pun, a real hot fire.
I'm trying to relate that figure with, of course, that would be a cost of the project, too, I would think, but, and you said it was, what, 9,000? Tons or
this 9,000 tons.
Tons or $140 a ton, is that at the price? What's that come out to, a little over $1 million?
$1,000,000.
So the crop is worth a little over $1 million. We spent $5 million to put the fire out.
Well, that fire probably wouldn't put out with the barley crop.
I mean, that was, I'm trying to relate these figures. That was for that purpose only. Thank you.
Representative Baskin?
Did you want to say something?
No, John said was that there were other. The fire would have probably been put out anyway, whether there was more barley crops there or not.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, I'm also pleased and share Senator Fisher's feeling about the department's presentation. Since you brought this up on Monday about who was making the presentations to the Joint Resources Committee and the Oil and Gas Committee, and the governor on January 3rd said that there would be some sort of affirmative action program, going on with the state employment picture. I'm happy to see that the department has hired a number of women on the
thank you.
At the director level.
I'll take that personally.
Nevertheless, my question surrounds not the majority of the population. I believe women constitute more of the population statewide and nationwide than men. Nevertheless, my concern in the state is for the minority. The non-whites, I suppose, what are
less than 3% of the department is occupied by minorities. We're making a special attempt right now to do recruitment for the two job openings that we do have that actually are at our high range by sending personal letters to regional corporations, AFN, and the Anchorage Black Caucus and other groups that may have talented people out there who could be applicants for jobs, so we're doing some extra recruitment. The other thing that we're doing that the Department of Administration just agreed to last week, that's extremely helpful in this regard, is what's called expanded certification on the job registers, where we can look at now not only the top five people, whoever they may be, but also the top five members of minority groups and the top five women if they happen to be underutilized in that job class. That gives us the ability to pick from 15 qualified applicants for a job rather than five qualified applicants for a job. From our perspective, just as managers, it's an advantage because we do get to pick from 15 rather than just five the way the old system works. So we're hopeful that with that and with the strong support that we're getting out of the governor's office at this point, that we'll actually do some active work in more affirmative action. As you know, the governor's taking a special interest in this and is carrying through procedurally to make sure that things happen.
I might share one other kind of dream with you too, and I have personally been waiting for Commissioner Reynolds, who's been hospitalized for some time recently, to get back on board, to talk with him, since I do regard the state's natural resources as where it is. It's not only the source of our material wealth, but it's also, these are the reasons that most of us are in Alaska. And I think we have to do our job with a great deal of care. I want very much to talk with him about the public schools and perhaps with the university about whatever we can do to help the people in education to develop training for natural resource management and participation in natural resource decisions, throughout the school system. So that's just a private dream. It's not in anybody's budget, but one that I would hope to pursue.
Mm-hmm. Representative Larson, you're the only one that hasn't asked anything yet. I don't want to force you.
No, I'm standing still. This okay.
Can I just ask one more question while
okay.
it's in
a bustle?
When you spoke about these job registers, how many job registers have been closed in the department? Are you closed off?
Very familiar with that, yes. Unfortunately, the funding level in the Department of Administration, not simply just inside DNR, and while they were trying to re-examine their policies towards state recruitment, they did close all registers to new applications. We have worked with them to reopen the registers based on the fact largely that we do not have sufficient numbers of minority hire applicants and women on those registers. It's, from their perspective, I think it's not a policy problem, it's just a matter of having a very limited funding for what is a large clerical operation. It just requires a lot of people pushing paper. It's unfortunate, but it is a problem, and we all recognize it.
It's nice to sit here, excuse me, and make glowing remarks about the administration's intent, but it's quite another when the administration closes the job registers and no one can go anywhere. It's kind of,
the governor's recommended budget for 85 for the Department of Administration does include an increase for the Division of Personnel precisely so that they can respond to that aspect of doing business.
How does that square with the efforts by those same individuals to seek regulations to circumvent that action? Isn't there a move afoot right now just to simply close them up?
Unless they, we can ask as a department the registers to be open if we have vacancies, if there are not sufficient a minority group or women on the appropriate job register, or if we do not have layoffs in that area. And they have been responsive at this point to reopening registers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman, if you indulge me, please. Neil points out that I'm not giving a fair accounting of some of our minority hires. So.
Just quickly, 2 points on the Alaska Conservation Corps, the program where we hired 100 high school kids to work in parks this summer. We think that that's a great opportunity to introduce young people in Alaska to a career in natural resource management. And we hired above parity in all classes. We hired more than 50% young women into the program, and we were above parity with the minority classifications in the state.
Well, Commissioner and everybody else, thank you. I think we've been told it was a good presentation. I also would like to state before we close out that we started out last year probably on some rough ground, kind of beating each other against the wall, I guess. At this point, I would have to say that you've all done a very good job. I have been, and I think most of my committee has been very pleased with the cooperation that you and all your directors have given to us, and at this point, I'm assuming that it will continue, and hope to have another good year. Committee members, you're welcome to take all this information back with you and sit up and read it this evening. That will turn me on.
Seventy-nine. Oh.